Welcome to Awaken to Grace. I'm Chad Roberts, and I'm so glad you're joining us today because we are in part two of our current sermon out of a series called The Neighborhood. And today we're talking about the great anticipation. We're watching four friends tear a roof off of a house to lower their friend, their paralyzed friend, down to Jesus. And today we're going to talk about their faith. We're going to talk about the faith of this man who is paralyzed, and I think there are great truths that we're going to learn from God's Word. I'm so glad you're joining me today on Awakened to Grace.
The tile off of the roof. They're going to destroy this thing. One account in the gospel say they begin to dig. And why does it say dig? Because they're digging through the mud. They're digging through the thatch. And think how large of a section this would have had to have been because he was lying on what the Bible calls a bed. So this had to be large enough that a full-grown man could have been lowered down. Are you believing this? There's a saying in the church today, and I really like it, and we think about it a lot as a church. There's a saying that says, if you're going to reach people that no one else is reaching, then we must do what no one else is doing. That's a great statement. If we're going to reach people that no one else is reaching, then we must do what no one else is doing. And these men on this day, now listen, I want to see ourselves in this story. These men could have saw the crowd carry. We don't know how far they carried their friend. We don't know how long it took them to get there. We don't know how much sweat equity that they had in this project. But when they got there, they could have got discouraged and said, well, there's no use. They could have got offended and they could have got mad at the crowd. Can you believe that the crowd didn't just step aside and say, please? Please bring this man. They could have got angry. They could have got offended. They could have got upset. They could have quit and said, there's no use. But no, you know what these men did? They put their heads together. And one of them, I'd love to know which one. It was probably the daredevil of the group. It was probably the ones who always said, hey, watch this, right? You know that type? Do you know that type? You know, sometimes I'll think, who tests out bungee jumps? I mean, who test runs that stuff, right? I picture it was that guy, you know? I'll be the first, not me, uh-uh. Anyways, one of them must have said, I got an idea. It's reckless. It's dangerous. But I think it's going to work. Church, are we willing to do what no one else is doing to reach people that no one else is reaching? Are we willing to do that? Are we so focused on others that we'll do things that are uncomfortable? We'll push ourselves outside of our comfort zones. We'll do things that are hard. We'll do things that are uneasy in order to get people to Jesus. If we're going to get a burden for souls, it's going to take that kind of faith. That kind of faith that doesn't play it easy. You know, the last several Sundays, before I've spoken or after I've spoken, I've talked to you about Awaken to Grace, and the amount of money I have to raise may not seem like a whole lot to you. It sure is a whole lot to me. And you know, sometimes I'll think, you know, it'd be so much easier just to play it safe, just to be happy with where we are. But let me tell you, when it comes to the gospel, I don't want to play it safe. I want to bet the farm. I don't want to play it safe. I want to leave it all on the line. I don't want to play it safe. I want to say, God, either you're going to deliver or I'm going to sink and drown, one or the other. I think we need to have a radical type of faith that says we believe in this gospel so much, we treasure it so much, my life has been changed so much, I'll do whatever it takes to bring others into this exact same life change. Amen? It ought to be our response. And thank God for these four men that wouldn't give up. Thank God for these four men that didn't get offended. Some people are sitting at home today because someone in some crowd at some church offended them. Don't quit. Don't quit. Have a resolve about you. Amen. Matthew Browder and I was at lunch this week, and there was a lady who came up and talked to us, and we were sitting there talking about everything church-related and all this and that. And Matthew, if you know Matthew, man, I just love that man. And he asked that lady, you know, he said, I forget how he asked it, something to the effect of, are you saved? Do you believe in Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus? However he said it. And the lady, very pleasant, wonderful lady, but she hesitated and she said, well, sort of, kind of, not really, but sort of. And she was so nice and so pleasant. And she said, I've seen a lot of bad things growing up in church. Sure. Some of you have had some bad experiences. Sure. But you know what I told that lady? We're sitting at stir fry. You ever eat stir fry? Nah, I just made myself hungry, daggone it. If Matt will come, we'll go ahead and close right now. Lord, thank you for today. No, I'm kidding. But we're at stir fry, and oh, it's so good. It's so good. Amen. I'm really thinking about it right now. But you know, I've got my big plate there, drunk of noodles with spicy chicken. Hallelujah. Amen. Anyway, but you know, I told that lady, I said, I've had bad experiences in restaurants. I've had bad experiences there. But that don't keep me from coming back. I guarantee you there's hypocrites back there in that kitchen. I guarantee you there's hypocrites on their waiting staff. But that don't keep me from coming and enjoying this meal. And she was so sweet. She rubbed my back. She said, that's exactly right. I said, don't let anyone keep you from Jesus. And these men could have gotten offended. I would have. I'm carrying a paralyzed man and you can't get out of my way. But they didn't get offended. They dug through that roof. They moved heaven and earth for their friend. Now, let me close today talking about this paralytic. You know, let me be careful how I say this. I want to be really transparent with you. In this day, disabilities were seen as judgments from God. Do you remember the man who was born blind? And even the disciples of Jesus asked Jesus, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin that he would be born blind? And do you remember what Jesus said? Neither. This situation is to the glory of God. People with disabilities were looked very down upon. They were judged in society. I can't imagine what it took for this man to agree to be carried, what I think was in front of hundreds of people. I think it took a lot. I know for me, in what I have faced in blindness, the first few months that I was blind, I didn't go out. I hated going out to restaurants. I still don't like it, to be honest. I forced myself to do it. Friday, Sadie drugged me to Sam's in Johnson City. She told me that if I'd go, she'd buy me a slice of pizza out of the deli, and it worked. And it was good, and I enjoyed it. But I did not enjoy being drugged all over Sam's. And it's hard. And when I go out to eat, there are times I spill drinks, and it's really tough. And since I've been open about that. I've had a lot of people with disabilities come up to me personally and say, we understand exactly what you're saying. It's hard for us to go places. But see, in our culture, people don't look at someone with a disability and go, oh, God's judged you. But they did this man. They did him. What did it take for him to, A, even agree to be carried to meet Jesus? And I can't imagine how his heart sank when he saw the crowd and he knew there was no way. I'm not getting anywhere near him. There's too many people. And what do you think went through his mind and went through his heart when one of his buddies, said, no, I got an idea. I mean, we're going to have to do some property damage and we're probably all going to go to jail, but I think it's going to work. We're going to take you up to the roof. We're going to destroy the roof and we're going to lower you down. What went through his head? What do you think he actually thought when they actually dug the roof out and dirt is on top of the head of Jesus and all these people are looking up and your buddy goes, okay, hold on tight. And they start to lower him. I bet he felt embarrassed. I bet he felt scared. You're talking about feeling like you're imposing. And I bet he felt awful. But what does Mark tell us that Jesus said as the man is being lowered down? Jesus saw their faith. Let me tell you, when Jesus looks at me, I don't want him to see a pastor or a minister or even a blind man. I want him to see my faith. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 that when Christ returns, he's looking for people of faith upon the earth. What does Jesus see when he sees you? Some of you would stick your chest out and say, I think God would see ambition. I'm an ambitious person. My friend, that don't impress God. Some would say, well, I think Jesus sees goodness because I'm a good person. It doesn't impress the Lord. Some would say talent. I'm quite skillful. I'm quite talented. It doesn't impress the Lord. God wants to see faith in your life today. And I want to tell you today who maybe you're either in the building or you're watching online. I want to tell you there are some of you listening, and I know this in my heart and by the Spirit of God. There are some of you that you don't feel good enough for Christ. You feel embarrassed. You're embarrassed over your past. You're embarrassed over decisions you've made in life. But like a lame man, like a blind man, like a crippled man, like a man with edema that we saw last week, you are unable to help yourself. And let me give you the good gospel news. When you recognize your inability, when you recognize your inability to save yourself or to help yourself, and all you have is Jesus, that's when you'll realize that's all you need. Amen? It's all you need. And that's when God looks at you and he sees faith in your heart. And I know in my heart, there are people listening today that you're like that paralyzed man. You have all good intentions, but in your heart's beating fast going, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if this is a good idea. I don't know if he'll accept me. I don't even know if he'll touch me. I don't know if he'll change me. And I'm here to tell you, he will. He absolutely will. Jesus healed this man. He touched this man. He transformed him. And church history doesn't tell us what happened to him. But I'm telling you, I cannot help but believe that when the church got ramped up, he wasn't there leading the early church in Jerusalem saying, let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. Where do you see yourself today? Do you see yourself in this crowd that all you are is curious. That's it. You're not repentant. You're amazed. You're astonished. But you're not repentant. Do you see yourself in these four heroes? These four heroes who the Bible didn't tell us their name, but they moved heaven and earth. Are you interceding? Will you enter into intercessory prayer for the lost? Are there people at your work that you'll do anything to bring them to Jesus? People in your neighborhood, people in your family, people that it's in your sphere of friends that you'll do anything to bring them to Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said it better than anybody I've ever heard say it. Charles Spurgeon said, yes, there'll be more people in hell than heaven. The Bible tells us that. Broad is the way to hell that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that goes to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Yes, there will be more people in hell than there are in heaven. But you know what that great prince of preachers said in the 1800s? He said, if more people are going to go to hell than heaven, he said, let us lay in the floor in intercessory prayer and let them have to leap over our bodies to get there. That needs to be our attitude. Are you one of these four that you're bringing people to Jesus? You're actively, you're praying. You'll tear off any roof. Hallelujah. Boy, I want our church to be that way. We don't care how much money it costs. Come on, you with me right now? We don't care because money's not our bottom line. Souls is the bottom line. That's our bottom line. Souls. And we don't care how much it costs because when you find a pearl of great value, you'll sell it all. When you find a field that has treasure, you'll sell it all. And we don't care how much this gospel costs. Hallelujah. We'll tear off every roof. Amen? Or today, do you see yourself like this poor, paralyzed man who could do nothing for himself? Today is the Holy Spirit showing you your great need for Jesus. Oh, I pray he is. Let's pray right now. Lord, we need you. Oh, how we need you. Oh, how we need you. Today, if you're that paralyzed man, if you're a teenager, if you're a college student, if you're a retired person, if you're married, single, divorced, I don't care what stage of life you're in. I don't care how old you are today or how young you are. When Jesus shows you your need for him, let me tell you what that is. That's God's kindness, Romans 2:14, leading you to repentance. And today you may have never felt like you'll be accepted by Jesus. You may feel like your past is too bad. You may feel like your decisions have been too sinful. No, let me tell you, Jesus says in this same chapter, he came to seek and save those who were lost. He didn't come for those who were well, those that were self-righteousness, those who have no need of a physician. He came for those who are sick and they need the great physician. Will you acknowledge that today? You know, I'm just going to be led by the Holy Spirit today. If you say, Chad, I'm that paralyzed person. I'm in need of Jesus. I want you right now to come down to this altar and somebody is going to come pray with you. I know that means getting up in front of everybody, but what did that paralyzed man feel like? Being lowered down in front of everyone. But Jesus saw his faith. And I'm telling you, you get up out of your seat, you come to this altar today, Jesus is going to see your faith. Do it right now. Do it right now, and somebody's going to pray for you. Deacons, deacons' wives, leaders, I want you to watch, and let's pray for people today. Come right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come right now and say, I am coming to Jesus because sin has paralyzed my life, but Jesus is going to touch me today. He's going to make me whole today. He's going to change my life today. Those of you watching online, I don't care if it's a year or 10 years after this sermon is preached, Jesus will touch you. He'll save you. He'll heal you. He'll forgive you. There are no time constraints with the Lord. He'll do it right now. Right now in your life. Pray and ask the Lord to change your life. Oh God, I thank you for that day that those four men tore the roof off the building to bring people to Jesus. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you say in your word that you will for no reason turn away those who come to you. You'll not turn us away. You won't say you're not good enough. You won't say you're not moral enough. You're not accepted. You'll never do that. You'll never turn anyone away that will come to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Now, Lord, I pray for those of us who say we want to get people to Jesus. God, would you renew the passion? Would you set a fire to our heart, a burning flame to bring people to Jesus, to where it consumes us? It consumes us. This life is short and it's full of trouble. This life is going to be passed in no time. And what is done for eternity, that's all that's going to last. Let us live with eternity in mind, eternity in view, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh God, we yield to you today. We yield to you today, Lord. We yield to you. Perhaps you're here today and you say, Chad, I'm one of those curiosity people. I'm here out of curiosity. Then get serious with the Lord. Get serious with the Lord. Get serious with him. I'm telling you, this is not religion, friends. This is not religion. This is the living God. This is the living God coming in and rearranging our lives. This is not religion. Not religion. And today, if you're here and in your heart you're saying, I'm seeking a religion, or you're watching online and you're seeking a religion, you won't find that in Christianity. But what you'll find is a God who will leave heaven and come to this earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And in all of your seeking God, let me tell you, friends, the good gospel news is God is really seeking you. Because he'll leave the 99 and he'll go after the one lost sheep. Hallelujah. Oh God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you that you still accept sinners. Thank you, God, you accept sinners and you change us. We're now the saints of God, from sinners to saints. Only the grace of God, only the blood of Jesus, only the grace of God can do such a thing. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, for all of those who responded today. All of those who, by faith, moved. Because faith is a verb, it's action. Those who moved. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's broadcast and would like to hear more great content, you can always download our free mobile app, Awaken to Grace, where you can request prayer, find sermons, articles, blogs, music, podcast, as well as support us financially. You can also visit either of our websites at www.preachingchristchurch.com or www.awakentograce.com for more information about our church or our resource ministry. Thank you for listening to Awaken to Grace.